Podcast is intended for mature audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
You need that fear.
All I'm trying to do is make a stand for something that I truly believe is right. I truly believe it's right.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Boxing Voice Radio, hashtag TBV Podcast. It is an immediate reaction, another spontaneous show. We are back because what HBO and Golden Boy are grooming to be the next young Mexican star was in action tonight versus Liam Smith, beefy, and things got a little rough for Beefy in there. You know, he's hung in there 9 rounds with Canelo, and he just went 12 with Munguia, but Munguia really put hands on him. And we're here to discuss whether or not the comparisons should stop. I mean, you know, they're really comparing him and Canelo a lot on HBO and just throughout the media. So we're looking for your immediate reaction on tonight's performance, and obviously my co-host will be doing the same. So let's jump into it. I mean, it is time to go out to our co-hosts from all over the globe. We got
BoxingVoice.com. I've been doing this. I ain't been up and fell off. I've been through the Lennox Lewis era, the Nassim Hamed era, the Sugar Shane Moser era, the Oscar De La Hoya era, the Mark Antonio Guerrero. I've been through all the eras, and I still been
fell off. How much did you do? Too much talk. Thing is that
people want their subjective preference to be the objective reality.
HBO needs to fire you. You don't know shit about
BoxingVoice.com.
Yo,
what's up?
Hey, so we had a big slugfest tonight. Regardless of your opinion, it was a very entertaining fight. But I do have some concerns and some questions about the 2017 ring prospect. So, all right, Mike, what you think?
Yo.
Believe it, receive it. Speak it, believe it, receive it. Speak it, believe it, receive it. I can't say it enough. I speak it, believe it.
With a stem, two attempts, handed bands over. Sicko hit, shot and missed, two to stand over. Breadwinner, huh? Look who in the building. Let me check my Instagram. I might be at a million.
And I'm in.
BoxingVoice.com.
Yo, what's good, TBV family? Man, what a fight. It was a nice little slugfest right there. I think everybody's seen why I like Beefy Smith. He's a tough guy. He comes to fight, and he is tough. But there are questions that we do have about Jamie Munguia. Is he the next Oscar / Canelo, or should we pump the brakes a little bit? We definitely going to get into that.
Oh, no, let's definitely just pump the fucking brakes right now. I mean, listen, We see this time and time again with HBO. It's what I'm going to start using as a marketing tool. It's their promotional tool, is to try and latch any fighter to whatever fighter you used to know. Aaron, you ain't got no fancy intro yet, so.
You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with me.
Me.
You are now tuned into the Boxing Voice Radio. Join us every
Let's go. It's your boy Young Cantu jumping in the mix like we do it. I have my intro for tomorrow so we could get it bracken tomorrow. I'll be on the flagship. Let's get it. Munguia wins it.
He does win. He does win, and he lives to fight another day. But, I mean, I just think that the commentators have gone a little bit far with all the credit. Jarrett Hurd destroys this guy.
Man, the guy is 21 years old. And he
I don't care, Mike.
Why am I sensitive?
Because you got a heart. You're always trying to say someone's age or they're in it.
He just went 12 rounds with a guy that was a former champion, 32 years old. The guy just showed a lot of heart.
Got a belt, and the only thing that people are talking about are unifications. You know, you making comments in the media, and you getting the attention of the other champions. And let's be real, You know, he's a draw. There were people in Sam's Town yelling. I could not believe it that this guy who we didn't know a week ago all of a sudden has fans. But, he, I mean, was it Lampley that disrespected every other middleweight by saying, oh, we've never seen another junior middleweight punch this hard? And it's like, really? So Jamal just never was at junior middleweight. And Jermell, he's not doing that at middleweight. No. I mean, you know, it's just ridiculous. But the performance was a fun one, but he's sloppy as hell. Like, he's not going to last with a Jarrett Hurd, and he's not going to last with a Jermell Charlo. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, the beginning of the first three rounds, I mean, you can see HBO was trying to push their agenda, and Harold Lenneman was, like, having all their early rounds to Munguia. In my opinion, I thought Smith won the first three rounds. And if you look at how clean he was hitting him and all the, I mean, imagine if that was someone who was considered someone like his size or someone like Triple G that they were claiming that that's who they wanted to fight. I mean, it was clear and apparent that his defense was not there. And, go ahead.
I do believe his defense is not where it needs to be, but given the age of the young man, I'm going to say it again, because he's only 20 years old, man. Guys still have a long way to develop and progress. Going him in right now with a Triple G or a Charlo or Hurd would be a mistake. But maybe a guy like a fringe level like Julian Williams might be a good fight for him.
Well, that's who I was going to bring up big time, man. Him versus J-Rock's a good matchup. You're not going to want to throw him in with one of those lions like Ness is saying, but let's be real. You know, let's be real. It's healthy to see another player at 154, and that's what this guy is. He's 21. He's on his way up. Give him a couple years, Ness.
Thank you.
But he has a belt.
He ain't no player. He ain't no player. Golden Boy going to have to motherfucking hide his ass for the next year and a half. Year and a half before he's ever looking at a unification. Now, I could only think of Jermell with the WBC. Oh, yeah, there's no belt out there because Hurd has the other ones, right?
Other two, yeah.
No belt out there. This dude's hot in for a year and a half, guaranteed.
And he may be the biggest draw at 154. Right now.
Knock it off.
Who's the bigger draw to him? Who's the bigger draw to him?
Earl Spence just sold 12,000.
At 154, not 147.
This is the problem we always get. People want to talk without even hearing your sentence. I'm not confused. I'm not a casual to mistake Earl Spence's division. I'm setting the groundwork for my statement, which is if Earl could do it, oh, them Lion Boys could do it. And let's not forget that they've already mentioned on their social media, they're going to be doing a hometown fight. And we're going to see how many tickets they sell. Then we'll come back and revisit this shit, whether or not Jamie is the biggest star in the division. Because last I checked, Sam's Town has, what, 2,000 fucking tickets?
Okay.
Am I right or wrong?
I don't know about that. I do know that Laura and her had a unification at a very small venue.
Okay.
Yeah, I was at the fight, man. It's not a big venue.
You know why, though? You know, it's because they want a neutral ground. But if you do it in Hurd's hometown, he could fill up the D.C. Armory easy with 8,000 to 12,000 because Lamont Peterson and Khan did it. And right now, Hurd's a semi-star. You know what I mean? He's lukewarm. He's not a star. Maybe that's wrong term, but he's warming up. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Well, you got to think, though. I mean, HBO has the machine power. They don't have any fights. They don't really have any stars. And they're investing a lot of time in him. I mean, the comparisons they were drawing was kind of far-fetched, in my opinion. But you can see they're trying to relay him to be one of their big stars.
Like, what do you mean? Like, oh, he's on his toes like a young Oscar. Oh, my God.
I mean, they did bring in, like, his trainer is the same trainer that was Oscar De La Hoya's first trainer. So you can see what they're trying to do with the community, what they're trying to do with the fan base. And, you know, they don't have a lot of fights, you know, they don't have a lot of fighters. So they're going to try to put as much they can into the couple fighters they have. And that's where you can see they're drawing Canelo comparisons. You know, they're trying to take whatever reach they do have and bring it to whatever fighters they do have left.
Yo, how am I hating because I'm keeping it real? See, this is the problem that we have. When our champions get belts, we still want them to develop. Mike was like, oh, I don't think he should unify. Maybe he should fight Julian Williams.
That's how I sound. Okay, that's cool.
I mean, that's how I picture everyone sounds when they're babying.
I'm just fucking with you, bro. You ain't got to explain to me.
This dude just made more money than all of us annually in one fight. He's also 21, which makes him legitimately a legal grown-ass man, yet we want to give him the yellow brick road to success?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, they treated too, because, like, when Javante got his belt, they weren't going. They were like, oh, Lomachenko.
We were pressuring Lomachenko, so why aren't we pressuring Jarrett Hurd?
Has Lomachenko happened?
No, but we were pressing for it. The whole media was talking. Javante was clearly.
And we pressing for Demi, AJ, and Wilder. That shit still ain't happened. We can press for all we want to, but Golden Boy is in charge of that young man's career.
You're right, Mike, but at least there is shaming in the public. Like, we can't allow it to just be okay. When Javante didn't fight Lomachenko, reporters asked him, are you fighting him? And then he had to come up with stories, right? And he had to look bad in these interviews. And they essentially, Mayweather had to come out and say, look, we going a different way. And they had to just clear the air. Like, we not fighting this guy.
I get what you're saying, Ness. In essence, when you're a champion, you have no reason not to fight other champions. It's the same standard we hold Anthony Joshua to. Why are you going to fight all these other guys, these lower level guys, when you ain't fighting the other champion? So no, I agree with you on that.
I mean, come on. The telecast is building him up as this big puncher. He's young Oscar when he's on his toes. All these comparisons, and then we're going to say, nah, let's let him develop as a champion. Let's let him develop. I mean, and I'm not saying we don't see this often. We see this far too often. I mean, Oscar Valdez, Gilberto Ramirez. You know, the list goes on and on of champions that are developing right before our eyes. But are we just going to continue to accept this new fad?
I think we can all agree, though, that the WBO belt is the least of all the championship belts. What do you think? I mean, to an extent.
I hold that WBA, man. That shit right there pisses me off. So,
I'm with you, Mike. But the WBO is kind of one of those belts that barely became a prestigious belt over the last, decade or so? There was three major sanctioning body belts, the WBA, the IBF, and the WBC. Those were the three main belts. The WBO really came into the forefront when Vitaly Klitschko captured it in the heavyweight division. That kind of gave it some pub. So this WBO belt's kind of
You can say that with all of them. I mean, at a point the IBF was like a super crooked belt, you know, and they would have promoters spend money to get fighters ranked incorrectly. So I mean, at the end of the day, like, we all hold these belts now at this point as an important belt, and they need a fight. I mean I kind of look at them like kind of like a Fernando Vargas, because Fernando Vargas was someone who was rushed. And I'm not saying, like, in this case, you know, Munguia is going to be rushed because we think that he may be handled differently. But if he's going to be fighting these guys, we saw what a young fighter had to deal with when he fought some of the elite fighters like Felix Trinidad and Oscar De La Hoya. And I see the same situation is going to happen just because he's young. Well, he has a belt. And that's part of the game.
Man, this dude stylistically makes the same mistakes that Fernando Vargas used to make. You know, he's overzealous and over-anxious, and he's thinking about offense instead of defense, and he's getting caught a lot. Like, you know, I seen a UK – it had to be a UK fucking listener, because he's like, oh, Munguia was not exposed. He was taken to school by an experienced ex-champ. Okay. I swear to God, they always find a way to give their people credit. Like, dude, he got his ass kicked for 12 rounds. You talking about he took the one who beat him to school. Like, get your ass out of here. Listen, final thoughts, man. It's boxing, right? So we all know that Golden Boy heard the cheers in Sam Towns. I didn't do the research or Google to find out how many tickets are in that motherfucker, but he had it sounding like something, that's for sure. And I'm sure Oscar heard those cheers. But they've also seen this fight. And you got to go back to the drawing board once you see this fight, especially on tape. He got hit a lot. Regardless of, you know, we like to say on this show particularly how, you know, oh, he didn't feel the punches, or he didn't respect the power, but nah, That shit doesn't mean anything. Like, there's still a punch landed versus punches thrown ratio that's out there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Lomachenko and Floyd hold the record in those categories for being the men that have the least amount of punches landed on them. So Jaime Munguia's Mexican style, I know it's traditional, but if he wants to, I don't know, last, yeah, he might want to move his head a bit. I'm your host, Nesta Gibbs. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at NestGTO, and my host.
Real quick, my final thoughts are that Jamie needs to sharpen up his defense, and Golden Boy shouldn't try to do a unification just right now. I will give him a fringe level contender like a Erickson Lubin or a J-Rock and see how he does with that. And that's about it. I think Leon Smith had a good outing tonight, showed how tough he was, and showed that he had heart.
All right, it's your boy Young Can too. My final thoughts are, from a business perspective, if you're a Golden Boy, you really only got three main stars right now. You got Canelo, you got Ryan Garcia, and then you got this guy Munguia, who's new to the scene. So you got to think they're going to protect him moving forward with that WBO belt. That being said,
yo, I don't know if Ryan's a star, bro. We got to debate. Well,
they're putting their marbles in that bag with him. Is basically what I'm trying to say.
In the bill, like Daniel was covering the fight today. He sent me a video, and like, it looks like Ryan's wearing like Old Navy or like Gap shirts and shit. Like, he's got to step it up. Like,
I get you,
kid, and everything, but like, he's got to get the people's attention. Can't just be talking about Javante all day.
Bro, he's got a million followers.
That's what,
man.
He's got I was finna finish it like golly. Like, golly.
Doggy, that picture. Listen, I was sent a picture of him and Cotto, and it was boring. Look at it. It's on our Instagram. It's just whack.
Cotto's boring. I don't know, Ness. Maybe you just don't like his style, bro.
Tell him step his wardrobe up.
He might have that laid back California type shit going on. You never know.
Step it up.
Let me just say this, though. From an optimistic standpoint, Munguia does go 12 rounds in the championship fight. So, you know, he can build off of this win.
All right. I'll say my final thoughts. Canelo Alvarez turned pro at 14. He got his championship at 21. We hold him at the same standard. We're going to hold him. That's what I'm going to do. He has a belt. Nothing's going to change. He needs to work on some things. Eventually, he's going to have to be a mandatory or a unification. It's going to go down.
Yo, it's funny you said that because Canelo got that belt at 21. Jamie got that belt at 21. What's the common denominator there? Oscar De La Hoya. And when Canelo got that WBC belt, bro, he got fed Jose Miguel Cotto, not Miguel Jose Cotto, the brother. He got actually the brother. And then he got not Ricky Hatton. He got Matthew Hatton. I mean, he got Alfredo. What was it? Gomez?
Yeah, Alfonso Gomez. Yep.
Angulo.
I mean, the dude had chicken noodle soup the whole 147-pound career, I think. I'm not sure because obviously that was a long time ago. But good night. See you guys next time.